Hey there, boys and girls, moms and dads and children and fisher persons of all ages, types, descriptions, and styles. Why, it's Radio Fishing Time. And this is Fishing Frank here in the chair, as you may have guessed. And I've got Austin in the chair over here and Captain Billy Barton in the other chair. So we're going to see what happens here today. I'm not sure where we're going to go, but the one of the things I know I want to cover is Austin's been kind of dialing in the tarpon. I mean, really dialing them in. And it's pretty impressive for a person of his, his age, I guess. Austin, you know, you've been at the store so long, we tend to think of you as an old man, but you're not old at all yet.
Well, 17 isn't really that old, is it?
No, 17 pretty much ain't that old. I got underwear older than that. So, yeah, that's embarrassing. But, you know, I hate to say it, but it's probably true.
Yes,
I know I got socks older than that. I got a pair of boots I wear that's older than that. Good God, that's embarrassing to say. Anyway, well, Captain Billy, tell us about you and what you do.
I guide full-time on Charlotte Harbor. Mostly inshore, you know, for snook, redfish, trout. Not so much snook in the wintertime. I love what I do, you know, I'm very passionate. Wouldn't be doing it without you.
Oh, yeah, you're a definite nutcase. There's no doubt about that. You're a whack job.
Yeah.
I mean, he's ate up with it. Austin, any disagreement?
No, he's full of it. And I grew up fishing with him my whole life, and he's taught me everything I know about it, so.
We're going to try and do kind of a weekly segment with these two. Billy is a charter boat captain, and Austin will be a captain very soon. You've passed all your paperwork. You've passed your test. You've got all that behind you.
Got my certificate. Just wait until I turn 18 and get all this paperwork done with.
Yep. So Austin is on his way to being a captain, and we're going to be kind of going over with these guys hopefully once a week, find out what's going on in the harbor. What is going on in the wide world of charter boat fishing right now, Billy?
Oh, it's been so busy on the water, Frank. I'm sure you've noticed it in the shop. I mean, at least for the last couple weeks, you know. But, you know, the fishing has been decent, you know. I will say it's...
Are you lying, sir?
It's not my favorite. It's my busiest time of year, but it's not my favorite time of year out there. You know, it's a time of year where I definitely am having to work harder for them, you know.
One of the things I'm finding right now is it's a little bit about changing spots, but a lot about changing rigs.
Yeah, you know, I used to have the state of mind where I needed real big shrimp. And even at my seminars, I'm sure you've heard me brag on our big shrimp at the shop, and I love fishing with big shrimp. Well, the last couple weeks, I've been coming in, the big shrimp have been burying up a little bit. You know, we haven't had quite as many in the tank, so I've been taking smaller stuff and actually have had better success on the small stuff than I was on the larger stuff.
Yeah, I remember taking a guy out, and just one guy, and so I took a different boat, not my big 24, and we were in a small boat, and I was showing him some fishing around some of the docks. I only had about 2 dozen big shrimp, so I got my customer with the big shrimp, he's throwing it, and I'm throwing, because we always kind of fish together on the trip, you know, mm-hmm. Most of the time I tried not to, but we used to have a lot of fun, he was a regular customer,
yep.
And I'm throwing these tiny little shrimp, and on my second redfish, I handed him the tiny rod with the little number mm-hmm. 4 hook and the little bitty shrimp, and he started catching all the redfish, and it's surprising. I equate it to the snack factor.
Yeah, I was having a conversation with Robert the other day, and it was a great conversation, and it kind of opened my eyes. You know, he told me a story about fishing for snook at night at Boca Grande when he first moved here, out near the phosphate docks, and he said he was watching these snook come through on the light, and they were hammering these tiny shrimp, and all they had was jumbos in the bucket, good-sized shrimp. And he said he went for the smallest shrimp in the bucket, and as soon as they threw out that little shrimp, bam, they hooked up. And, you know, he proceeded to tell me that they hooked up like 4 other snook on every small shrimp they had, and that was all they caught that night. But he said that you know, it takes a lot for these fish when that water temperature cools down. They're cold-blooded creatures, and it takes a lot for them to digest something that's larger, you know, so they'll focus on smaller stuff. Is that
basically? I'm in agreement, and Robert and I were talking about it, and he was, you know, mentioning the fact that water temperature affects their ability to digest food.
Yes.
And when it gets too cold, the food will actually rot in their stomach without being digested.
And make them sick.
And so they're going to eat smaller stuff, and it's just because they can digest it, you know, and it makes more sense. Now, what's your opinion, big shrimp, small shrimp, Austin?
I was just going to jump in there. I mean, I've heard more times this year than ever about people using small shrimp, even small frozen shrimp, and catching real big snook and redfish up to 40 inches on them. Guy came in here, he was fishing 8-pound mono and a real small frozen shrimp, and he caught a 42-inch snook on the pier, and I think the digesting thing, that's right. They can't, they just because they want the bigger meal, they know they can't eat it, so they go for the smaller stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it just, when you really think about it, but it goes against what most people think. If it's not a big shrimp, you're not going to get a fish, and it really is not working that way at all right now. Terry and I were out Friday. It took me 3 rigs and figuring out where to cast in that spot before we started hooking fish.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd fished one spot before, and we tried 4 rigs, 4 different ways of fishing, didn't get a hit, so we moved on.
Yeah.
But when I'm going to a spot, are you finding that in one spot you might have to rig one way and cast and use a certain type of rig, then you get to the next spot, it might be something completely different?
Yes, you know, I mean, I was pretty full force to go and use, you know, I like to tail hook my shrimp on a jig head, but I was actually figuring out this week, you know, I was doing a lot of dock fishing and fishing some stuff that's a little closer than I normally fish. You know, the advantage of fishing large shrimp is you can stay far away, especially for redfish, you know, because they're pretty spooky. And I've been fishing a little smaller shrimp, but I've actually been freelining them, or, you know, just letting them, preferably pulling them out of the bucket live. I've been not putting them in my live well because the water in the bay has been pretty fresh. And
a lot of people are saying, oh, well, you know, it's this, that. It's nothing but fresh water killing mm-hmm. your bait.
That's
salt.
It.
Shrimp needs salt to live.
Mm-hmm.
And so when your live well pulls, it pulls right off the surface of the water, the first 6-8 inches of water, and that's pure fresh water right now.
Yes.
So your bait's going to die. You need to leave them in the bucket with an aerator.
It's working so much better. I mean, I was having issues for a month, and probably 2 weeks or so ago, I just started putting them in a bucket with a couple of bubblers, and they've been healthy. I even had them hang all night overnight what I had left over. You know, they made it 2 days in a bucket.
Yeah.
So
keeping them in the water that we do, and we just got mm-hmm. done redoing the tanks a bunch today. I still got a little bit more to do in it. Now, out around the canals, this time of year, the canals should be some of the best fishing. But it takes sunny days in order for the canals to be good fishing.
Because they heat up.
Well, it's got to absorb solar radiation. They got to get warmer. And when we have a lot of cloudy days, the canals don't light up much. They stay, they're too cold. But as soon as the sunshine, like the last few days, we've had a lot of sunshine. And that brings the fish up in the canals. Now, Austin, you like walking the banks. You've got a lot of places you drive up, and you kind of go in and fish off seawalls and docks and stuff all over the place.
Yeah, I like walking down the seawalls, and you can see all kinds of stuff when the water's clear and the sun's out, from black drum, sheephead, snapper, snook, just cruising up and down the seawall. And a lot of times when you're standing above them, you can actually sight cast to them. But the best way that I found to do it is to just stand back if you know they're there and make a cast to them and wait for them. Because once you walk over them, you pretty much spooked them.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. If you're on a boat, stay away from them and cast to
now,
them.
Do you feel your clothing makes a difference? What you wear, whether they can see you better or not?
I don't really for me, but I do feel like if the sun's behind me versus in front of me makes a big difference. If the sun's in front of me to where I'm not casting a shadow at them, I feel like that makes a huge difference.
And your footsteps.
Your footsteps will make a big difference too.
Soft shoes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Soft shoes are real important.
Soft, slow walking.
Now, how is that on the boat, Billy? You got the same kind of feeling?
Yeah, it's major, you know. You get a day and you got 4 gentlemen on there and they all want to catch redfish and they all have lead feet. And none of them are used to walking light on a boat, you know. And if it's flat calm, especially, those fish, they sense all that vibration. It travels through the water.
Well, that's the one nice thing about having a little bit of chop, because as the waves roll over, it makes a lot of noise in the water.
Yeah.
And it helps cover you up. But the calmer it is, the stiller it is, the quieter you have to be. And if you've got somebody who's used to tromping around, it can make fishing really tough.
Yes, it can.
I know a couple of the first times I fished with Billy, before I kind of knew the hang of things, I dropped the live well hatch. He's like, oh, you ready to go to the second spot? I ask him why, and that's the same reason. We could sit there all day and not catch a thing.
Heck, I still get on Austin every once in a while about having lead feet, but he's pretty good now about it.
Yeah, he's getting better. We got to send him to ballet class, I think. he needs to be able to pirouette a little bit.
He'd be a good ballerina.
Get up on your toes, you know. Not quite so hard down on the heels.
I'm going to stay out of this one.
I love it. He's the youngest, so he definitely takes... I thought I took the most abuse, but I'm starting to realize.
No, it was just your turn.
The torch has been passed.
It's your turn. It was your turn. That was his turn.
I feel like it's going to be a while before someone younger than me starts working here, so...
Oh, I can guarantee it. Yep. So, but all in all right now, with all the cold, fresh water coming down the river and the water coming in out of the Gulf and everything's cold. What's your best advice, Billy?
You know, it was given to me a long time ago, and I think you were the one that gave it to me. It might have been Captain Angel. I don't remember which one it was, but it was, you know, when fishing in the cold in the winter and fishing with live shrimp, when you think you're fishing slow enough, fish them even slower. And yeah, a little bit of movement, a lot of times, you know, this time of year, what I've been noticing a lot of days is, we don't have much tidal movement, you know.
No.
It's real still, flat tides, and the fish aren't moving at all because the water's not moving. So if you know where the fish are going to be, or you have a good piece of structure or some bushes that have been good to you, you know, stay back, you know, work your shrimp real slow, but don't just let them lay there. You know, I found that you just sit there and wait, and nothing's going to happen. Keep moving.
What I've found in the two spots where we caught fish the last time was, if I cast where I thought the fish were, I didn't get anything. If I had to throw up into the tide movement and let it drift into the shrimp or into the fishing spot, and I would get a hit. Even if I cast right to them and held it there, they didn't hit it. But if I threw 6-8 feet in front of it, now what required for me was, in order to get the current to move the bait, I had to open my bail up, and I fed out an extra 10-15 yards of line to create a belly in it.
Yep.
So that current could grab the line, and the line would pull the shrimp down along the bottom. It didn't work if I just cast it out and then tried to let it drift, because I couldn't get it to go straight. It always kept wanting to come out where I was. So I cast up against the mangroves, left my bail open, pulled out some line, pulled it out the end of the rod, a little bit more, but I was fishing extra 10-15 feet of line, mm-hmm. belling it in the water, using that line as a parachute to help drag my shrimp across that drip edge along that shoreline, and that's how we caught our fish. If I tried casting up into it and working it back up the current, mm-hmm. I didn't get anything. If I cast on the spot, I didn't get mm-hmm. anything. If I cast up current and let it just drift into it, bam, 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 we got hit. And but I mean, it's that specific, yeah. And that's what we've been talking a lot with people now, is get more creative.
Yep. You know, figure out where, you know, try to think about which way they're going to be facing, you know, like what you're saying right now. Which way is that water movement, whether it's the wind that's playing the role in it or the tide, you know, just which way is that water movement? And if it's moving a certain way, then that's probably the fish are facing into it.
All right. You know? What area do you think right now is one of the better areas in Harbor? East side, west side, north end, down south?
I'll be honest with you. You know, the days when it's been blowing real hard, I haven't been making a long run. I've been staying up on the north end of the bay, fishing a lot of the canals. They have been good to me. Grassy Point, BGI, fit targeting docks, or fishing the center of the canals on the real cold days, catching a lot of nice trout out in the middle of the mouths of the canals. But I've, now, in my head, I mean...
That's what saves the good charter boat captain when he knows. I prefer to go out and get in the wild country.
Me too.
But when it's blowing and it's rough and it's dangerous to be out there, to save a trip, I had to learn the canals, and I had to figure out where I could go and find fish up in amongst the houses, because otherwise you spend too many days not being able to run.
Oh, you're right.
So, I mean, it boils down to a matter of dollars and cents. We would all prefer to be out in the backcountry in the middle of the wild, but sometimes if you're a smart captain, you hold these canal spots near and dear. I guard them much more than I do the open water spots, because they're tricky. They're hard to find. You got hundreds, if not thousands, of docks, and how do you choose which one? That's always the, you know, finding one that holds fish. Now, Austin, you're pretty good at that, figuring out which docks hold fish and which don't. Anything you look for?
I look for the most structure I can find. Something I really like on a dock is if you got the dock that goes out, and sometimes either to the right, to the left, or in front of the dock, you'll have a pole or two poles or three poles.
A boat lift is always a good thing.
A boat lift? I'm not too big on the boat lift things myself.
I am.
I've never really liked them. If there's a boat on them, I'll like them. I don't like them if they're empty. I'll fish them if there's a boat. But I like just the poles, just poles with nothing else. Like there was a sailboat or something tied to them, and that's my favorite dock ever. I feel like it's deep in between the front of the docks and the poles and around them, and that's my favorite thing to fish.
Now, Billy, you and I both went, well, I like boat lifts, and because I've done pretty well under a lot of lifts. But now you find Austin brought up a good point, boat or no boat?
Oh, definitely. To me, the boat is, and the size of the lift especially is an automatic sign of how big that hole is going to be underneath of it. And a lot of times those fish are laying in that pothole underneath that lift. And, you know, I look for the larger boats. I like to fish under a lot of the larger boats and a lot of the larger lifts.
One number one rule, if you're fishing somebody's boat lift or whatever, respect. No sinkers, no jig heads.
Yep.
Because, yeah, it's a free line thing. Because here's a guy got anywhere from a $200,000 boat or a $100,000 boat or however much you paid for that boat, and you're throwing a rock at it, it's not right, boys and girls. Free line, something that won't scratch or mar his gel coat. Yeah. If you're going to take advantage of his good nature and you're fishing under his docks, be a little respectful.
Absolutely.
And I never toss at somebody's boat. If I want to fish under a boat, I put a bobber on, I throw it up current, and I make sure the line has enough to get underneath his hull, and I'll drift the bobber up next to it. But I won't throw at somebody's boat. If you're tossing jigs or lures at people's boats, how would you like me to throw rocks at yours?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
I mean, it just boils down to that. We have to respect, this guy paid a lot of money for that boat. And it's pretty, it's beautiful. You know, most people try and take good care of it. So don't throw stuff that can chip the boat or hurt the boat. Mm-hmm. I don't think people mind you fishing it, but if they walk out and there's a bunch of chips in their boat, they're not going to be too happy with anybody fishing there. We have to respect other people the same way you want them to respect you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I mean, I live by that. And I had one dock I used to fish all the time. And after the second time of going there, I knew I was going to be coming back a lot. I drove to the house, knocked on the door, and asked permission that when I was fishing there, can I make sure if I got any hooks and lines or anything, is it okay if I fish there? And can I take the, you know, your permission to make sure that everything's clear and clean when I leave? I don't want to leave any kind of mess because, you know, you have a great place to fish and beautiful home and beautiful dock. I don't want to mess it up. Mm-hmm. But if an accident happens, do I have your permission to clean stuff up? And they just look at you like you had a third eye. Really?
Thank you.
And I'm like, well, I don't want to trespass and do all that stuff, but I don't ever like leaving a mess somewhere. I want to make sure where I go, it's the same way as when I left.
Absolutely. I had a guy come out and thank me. It was probably 2 weeks ago now, but I was letting the better fishermen out of my customers. I usually will cast when I'm fishing people's boats. This way I know
nothing getting hurt.
Exactly. The one guy that I was letting cast got snagged up on the guy's lift. And after we finished fishing the spot, you know, we had to break his line off, but I trolling motored up underneath of it, and I took the hook and the line off of it. Well, the guy at first came out like, what's this guy doing? But he realized that I was cleaning it off, and he just came out to thank me. He said he pulls stuff off of it all the time. You know, yeah,
there's no sense being rude. You know, if it was your dock and your lift, you wouldn't want that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds pretty mean or rude of me when I say, well, let me throw rocks at your boat. But literally, that's what you're doing to somebody else. And if you think of it that way, it makes it easier to understand.
Yes.
You know, and nobody wants people throwing stuff at their beautiful stuff. Because let's face it, we all love our boats. I love mine. Somebody throws rocks at my boat, they got problems. I promise you. Uh-huh. And so I just refuse to do it to anybody else. So anyway, I'm a bit weird. Now, if you got a nice calm day, where would you like to go out in the harbor, Billy?
You know, right now I am fishing both sides. And I have worked, I mean, we've worked numbers on the east side. I feel like I've been catching more quality fish on the east side in general, but having to work for every hit, you know, even on the good days, a good pile of fish, of redfish on the bushes is five fish, plus maybe, you know, they're not in big wads,
right?
You know, on the west wall, I feel like there's a lot of, I've had days where we work numbers, you know, the size of the fish hasn't necessarily been as big.
17, 18, mm-hmm. 16, but yep. You can actually sit there and have fun for an hour or two, you know, really catching fish versus getting more quality fish and having less numbers.
Yeah, and making the run is, to me, always worth it if I can, because if I can make a run, little bit more of a run and go to places that a lot less people are going just because they want to save gas or they don't want to make the run across the bay, whatever it may be.
Could be choppy, could be whatever, yeah. Yep. Sometimes you got to suck it up and just say, okay, I'm going to put up with some bumpy and some spray and get a little wet, but a little bit better fishing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know. Now, Austin, I know you fish around the harbor pretty good. If you could go out to today or tomorrow, where, and it was nice, where would your place, where would you like to hit?
The trout thing would be what I'd go for just because there's so many of them out there.
And where would that
be? I was getting there.
All right.
I like the outside of the bar on either the east side or the west side.
Now, we're picking a spot. None of this namby-pamby stuff. We're picking a spot. If you could go to one place and do something, what would it be?
I would probably go to the west wall, stay on the outside of the bar, find 3 to 5 foot of water. 4 foot would be ideal. 3 to 5, those good. Find grass if you can. Sometimes the further south you go, the more grass you'll find. And the sand holes over there. I mean, and you can catch everything out of there. You can catch pompano, you can catch flounder, trout, redfish. When the tide's low, they come off the bushes and go out under the flat. So
what would the lure be that you'd going to take, or would you take bait? Would you take?
I would definitely have shrimp in my well this time of year, no matter what I was going for. I would try a shrimp on a popping cork would be my very first go-to. And if that didn't work, I would try maybe a mirror lure or something.
I want to interrupt a little bit. I think that was from an educational standpoint more than anything. You know, I think if I was out fishing with Austin, like if you and me were going fishing, what do you think we'd be doing?
Probably throwing either a gulp or a little John.
Yeah, we when we go together, we like to throw artificial. You know, I get more satisfaction, more gratification. So does he.
One of the reasons I'm being more hard on him and more specific is to try and get him to relax and just actually say what he wants to say, not what he thinks I want him to say. And it's going to take a little time. He's young. He's just learning. And Austin has not done a lot of the radio fishing. He's actually been coming to the fishing club meetings, giving talks, and he's been at the boat club giving a couple talks. So we're getting Austin straightened out, but it's going to take a little bit to get him to stop saying what I think he should say and actually think what he thinks he should say.
Yeah, but he's right. He was right. He was good. That was a good from an educational standpoint. You know, a popping cork. Half my rods on my boat are rigged up with a popping cork on a charter right now.
So is this true? Is this what you would have wanted to do, or this is what you thought you should say?
I feel like with shrimp, you'll catch more fish. I feel like I catch more fish with shrimp. I don't like baiting my hook every time, so I'll throw an artificial. But I think you catch
more. So lazy young man here, is that what this is? I don't like having to rebait my hook. I want my fish every time without having to do the work.
I think at the fishing meeting we were talking about baiting the hook every time. I think that was your part, wasn't it? About the 3 dozen shrimp in the live well? Huh?
Okay, touche. You got me. So, but it is the
shrimp on the popping cork thing is a really easy thing. It's productive and it always works. I mean, if you're gonna catch them on an artificial, you'll catch them on a shrimp.
Yeah.
So, I think finding them with the shrimp works good, and then throwing your artificial. And with trout, they're not overly picky. I mean, the gulp, that's one of my favorite baits all around.
Which gulp do you like?
I like the New Penny, or I like the white one. That's one of my favorites for trout.
In which style? They've got so many.
3-inch shrimp.
The 3-inch shrimp.
The New Penny is like the best that you can get for everything. The trout tend to like the white one sometimes a little bit better. But that could just be in my head. But
no, I mean, that's why we sell so many different kinds, because, you know, you have luck with the one, that's the one you're going to go to.
Exactly. If you have confidence in what you're throwing, you're going to sit there till you catch something with it.
Well, you know, you tell somebody how great a lure is, and they throw it 10 or 15 times, they don't catch a fish, and they take out the lure they've been using the whole time and throw it 150 times, catch a fish, and say, see, I told you.
Yeah.
This would work.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't throw yours that many times. They didn't give it enough effort.
But
know?
Sometimes that's the way it is, because I've been out all day fishing with bait and not caught fish.
Yeah.
And you're going to do the same thing with lures, same thing with bait. Sometimes it works right away. Sometimes it takes a bit. You know, you got to really play around with it. The hardest thing about throwing lures is figuring the speed and how they want you to work it that day.
Slow is the best thing that I found for the majority of the time. Once in a while, it's fast, but more or less, it's going to be slow.
With a nice little erratic twitch, you know, you want that shrimp.
For what lure? What are you talking about?
The gulp shrimp.
For a gulp shrimp?
Yep. I like to, you know, I like to work the long troughs, or, you know, if it's a mangrove shoreline that's got a long sand trough along it, you know, but I like to work it parallel and, or, you know, work it as distant as I can, but let that shrimp sink past where I'm really trying to target, just slow twitch him, you know, let him fall to the bottom. Usually if you're going to get a hit, it's going to be when he's falling, you know, when he's on the drop.
So you're more jigging than twitching. What you're doing is using a lift to your rod tip,
a pop,
not like a sideways. You're more jigging. You're bringing your rod tip up in a movement,
yep,
to lift the bait off the bottom and let it drop back down.
Yeah, and I find that erratic is good, you know, not a slow,
a
you know, a quick snap and then a slow fall. You know, a foot to 2 feet off the bottom.
All right. Well, let's see how you guys, if you agree on this. How do you like your gulp shrimp? Weedless worm hook, jig head?
1/8 ounce jig head.
1/8 ounce jig head. Billy?
Ditto.
Ditto. Okay. So
where he gets it from.
I said he taught me everything, so we can't be too far apart.
Yeah. Well, you never know, you know. Obi-Wan might, you know, you might someday pass him, you know. You can fight your laser sword. I used to say take the pebble from your hand, but he wouldn't have any idea what I was talking about.
Good luck, bro.
If you've ever been on the boat with Billy, you know to work your gulp slow or you're not going to catch anything. Or you get to watch him catch stuff. Been there 1 or 10 times.
So, all in all, the fishing right now, there is a lot of fish out there, but it's tough. You really got to spend some time thinking about what you're doing, working out how to catch them.
Unfortunately, when you find them, normally they're pretty small, too.
And they're moving.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Okay, now explain that, what you just said, Austin.
A lot of people have a hard time finding them in general, and when they finally find them, whatever it may be, trout and redfish on the flats, sheephead in the canal, they're all 10 to 15 inches on the good side, I mean, and they're all the same size and consistent, so if you're going to stay there and fish them, you're normally not going to pull a bigger one out of that. They're all going to kind of hang in the same size group.
Definitely. They group by size. Yep.
So, I mean, if you can normally find deep water on the trout thing around where you're catching the smaller ones, you can tend to catch some bigger ones like that. Redfish and the sheephead, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Gotcha. Yeah, I know how that goes. Yeah.
Just when you think you got them figured out, you got to start over.
Oh, well, that's...
That's fishing.
I ended up, I tried head hooking the shrimp with the hook. I tried tail hooking the shrimp. Finally, threading the hook again to the tail was the way I actually hook fish. I was getting hits, but they were taking the tail. They were taking a head. I wasn't getting the fish. So I finally ended up threading the hook through, figuring the drift, getting all that. But it took a bit. It wasn't like I just went out, cast my line over there, and started catching fish. It was 3-4 rigs and a couple of different hooking methods to work all that out. Now, I think that's kind of been the theme of 2016, is adapt, adapt, adapt. Change, change, change.
Oh, absolutely. And fish light, you know. I've I've downsized everything. I've been throwing 15-pound fluorocarbon a lot of days. You know, I hadn't seen too many snook in the last month until this week that just passed, and where we caught several. But it was mostly just redfish, trout, and sheep's head, and I was downsizing everything. You know, I normally fish 15 fluoro. I got 10 on a lot of my rods. You know, I was catching a lot of days that were just super flat, calm. You know, the water wasn't really moving at all, and just downsizing your gear, eliminating the terminal tackle, you know, trying to fish light, free lining. You know, those snook made two trips for me last week, you know, where we caught a lot of small trout and some okay trout on the flats, but nothing real big.
Is that your phone?
Not mine.
Oh.
I thought it was mine.
I thought it was. He got the same ringer as me now. Oh, so. I told him to change it. So I don't know. I don't know
if your phone or his phone.
Mine doesn't.
Anyway, we're talking about not seeing a lot of snook recently. Last year, back in December, January, February, we were fishing El Jabin, and we were catching so many snook every night, it was ridiculous. We were having between 20 and 50 snook nights, and all of them being 25 to 38 inches. I mean, almost every cast we'd go out and catch a snook, and we'd do that 4 or 5 nights a week till we waking up the next day like a zombie, and then going back out and doing it again the next night. And we swore in next December, which would be this year, in January and February, when it's cold out and we're freezing, we'd put 6 jackets on and go out fishing, and we'd catch so many snook. Wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, last year was a total different thing, and this year it's just not even been worth going out for me for the snook at night.
Well, it's just temperature. It's nothing to do with anything but the water temperature. That's where everything comes down to this year. The water temperature is so different than it was last year. We're talking 10 to 15 degrees cooler. And that's what the whole thing is boiling down to. If it's not warm enough for the snook to move around, they're just not going to move.
It was disappointing because I was looking forward to that.
Waited all summer and into the fall, and next thing you know, it just didn't happen.
After about the third cast out there, I was like, man, where'd they go?
But I was telling one guy, this is his first year. He bought a house, and he's been coming down on and off, but this is his first full winter season here. And I said, yeah, it's unfortunate this is your first year here. I said, but if you had moved down here 3 years ago or 4 years ago, and you had very consistent winters where everything was kind of the same,
and easy,
you would not be as good a fisherman as what you're going to be now, because now you're learning, do this, do that, change this, change that, work the different ways, because going to one spot and doing the same thing time after time and again is not going to work.
If you're learning how to fish when it's cold out, you're going to learn to fit yourself to fish slowly instead of versus the summertime where they'll eat it when you're moving it fast. So if you can learn to move it slow, they're going to eat it like that all the time, because all the bait fish you see out there normally are just cruising or just stopped.
You have no idea how long I had to pound that into your head.
Yeah.
Every time we'd fish together, I'd be like, slow down, Austin, slow down.
It's a shrimp. They don't move that fast, Austin.
Uh-huh. And
you ever seen a shrimp swim, Austin?
Uh-huh. And I wanted to make a little comment about that, too. As soon as I saw that water temperature get under 70, and that's kind of a mental thing, but as soon as that water temperature gets under 70, then I'm switching to shrimp full force, you know. The bait disappears. They don't see as many bait fish on the flats. You know, it's not...
Well, this year, because of the red tide and all the fresh water bait, there is a little bit of bait around, but I know some of the guys using it, but they're not doing very well.
It's not even worth getting out there, throwing the cast net in the cold weather to catch bait. That's not going to work for you.
That's the problem. You're going to catch 10 to 1 with shrimp as you will on white bait right now. And, you know, people don't understand. There's no perfect bait. There's a perfect time to use each different bait. As the water gets warmer, yes, white bait will catch more fish than shrimp. But as the water right now, there nothing works better than shrimp. The water gets too hot, you'll catch more on cut bait than you will on white bait or shrimp.
Yep.
There is a time and a place for every type of bait, and the more you adapt to, okay, I'm using this one, it's like this, and I'll try this and try that, the more you do one thing, the less consistent you are fishing.
Yep.
If all you do is go out, catch white bait, and throw that, you're going to be have some great days, but you're also going to have a lot more lousy days and a lot more mediocre days than if you switched your bait around to when pinfish is the best one, or when cut bait, or when shrimp. The more you change to the season and to the water, the more fish you're going to catch.
Something I love doing on the boat is I'll take shrimp almost every time I go out with Billy, and sometimes I'll be the first one to throw one out and catch a fish, and then we'll switch right over, whether it's winter, spring, summer, fall. I mean, I always like to have a few dozen shrimp on the boat just for a savior, you know. Fish are always going to eat a shrimp at some point or another. They could eat something else better, but they're pretty much going to eat a shrimp all year.
The one thing that I do is I always take a little bit of shrimp or something with me, because I am not hunting for 4 hours to get bait to go fishing.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, I don't care if I'm going to catch 10 snook with white bait versus the one I'm going to catch with my shrimp at that time. And because I want to go fishing, I'm going out to relax, not stress myself out looking for this or that or the next thing. That's me.
That's a personal thing, though. But if you're doing it for work and you have, you know, you have to weigh out your odds, you know.
But see, when I was chartering, I had shrimp, I had white bait, yeah. I had pinfish, I had cut bait.
Everything.
I'd load the boat up with everything, mm-hmm. because you don't know what's going to take to get that day. Some days it was live shrimp, some days it was dead shrimp, some days it was white bait. Sometime in the middle of the day, I would have to switch.
Cut white bait, you know, take their tail off and freeline them down, you know.
I've been on bunch of days with Billy over here where white bait was our savior. So
we're not saying saying if you change around during the year, you'll catch more fish.
Change with the season, match the hatch.
So anyway, anything else we can go over today?
that's a good one.
First, tough as everything is right now, we pretty much covered it.
That's all good. Captain Billy, if you are, Billy's in the store here Monday nights, and you can come in and talk to him in Austin and get to meet and greet with him. Billy, you do a couple types of charters. One where people can hire you with your boat, you'll take them out in your boat, go fishing, or they can hire you to go out in their boat, which is less money because they're not paying for the boat.
Yep.
And you go on their boat, show them where to go, what to do, how to rig up, where some good fishing spots are, and how to fish each one of the spots, which is a very important thing in itself. And soon to be, one day Austin will be following in that footsteps.
Yeah, it's gratifying to, you know, to lead people in that direction and then have them call you and send you pictures afterwards, you know. And
when you go out with people, and especially on their boat, it's kind of cool, because when you go out in your boat, you kind of know what's going to happen. But to teach somebody how to use their own boat, their own tackle, and rig up a little different, and actually catching fish, mm-hmm. and then you get to hear all the cool stories.
Yeah, and that's the rewarding part, you know. That's what it's all about.
Very cool.
It's fun to see people catch their first fish or their biggest fish, mm-hmm. smile on their face.
Yeah. I mean, it's the one thing we're lucky. We get probably more of that than just about anybody. Because in the store here, you know, you tell somebody, okay, you gotta do this, this, and this, and, you know, work on this. And then they come back with all these great stories and pictures and stuff. Mm-hmm. It makes this a pretty cool job.
Makes you feel pretty good when they come in and tell them that you sold them and showed them everything they did to catch this fish.
Mm-hmm. It's always something new, you know. Always a new story.
When their snook's bigger than your biggest snook, it's pretty good.
Yeah. I ain't had that happen.
It does kind of hurt a little bit.
Since last year?
Yeah, it does kind of hurt a little bit, but on the same instance, it is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to wrap up this session of Radio Fishing. I almost used my old show name. I haven't done that in a long time. All right. Let's see. As I say, this is Fish and Frank and Radio Fishing, and we've had Captain Billy Barton, and we've got Apprentice Captain Austin, and we hope this is going to be a regular event with them, coming in, catching up on what's going on with the harbor and everything else. And if you want to get hold of Billy, just click his picture right next to this, it'll take you right to his website. And Austin's the one with the red fish, and Billy's the one with the white shirt on, so anyway, you can tell which one is which. Just click Billy's picture, it'll take you right to his website, or you can contact him here at the bait shop and call down here. We'll get you in touch with Billy. Say goodbye, Billy.
Goodbye, everybody. Good luck out there.
Have fun out there, guys. Tear them up.
Well, this is Fish and Frank. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.